head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Hello and welcome to a very special Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. And I am, this is the very first remote Rusty Satellite Show. I'm in Aspen, Colorado with my good friend John Gilderbloom. How are you, John?
I'm doing great. Great fresh air, great neighborhood, great city.
It's even greater that the weather sucks back in Louisville as we speak as well, right?
I think it's, what was it, 67 degrees here?
Yesterday? Something like that. We're here at the in Aspen where they're holding the World Cup Ski Championships, believe it or not, this week. And we're not here for that. We're just here.
Yeah.
We're just here. So it's going to be a great show. I'm happy to be doing this show remotely. The amazing things that you can do with technology is great. While I was in Louisville last week, I did two great interviews with two really interesting people. I talked with Rex Chapman, the in my opinion, the greatest college basketball player of all time. he was at the Healing Place, and you're going to love this interview. Rex is really upfront about his problems with addiction, and he did a speech last week at the Healing Place. I know, John, you're familiar with the Healing Place and all the good work they do.
Oh, they do great, and we contribute a lot of money to them and always go to their dinners. And
right. Well, we missed the one last Saturday, but apparently Rex was great. And I got Rex to talk a little bit about basketball and the things coming up because, you know, we're in the middle of the NCAA tournament right now. And so that's great. My second guest on the show is Kevin Kramer, and he is my Metro Councilman out in J-Town. And despite the fact that he's a Republican, he's a pretty cool guy, and I really enjoyed sitting down and talking with him. So it sounds like a great show, huh, John?
It's going to be wonderful.
What are we going to talk about?
Well, we're not going to talk about the birds and the bees.
Well, we've been having a good time out here. We'll mention some of the things we've been doing. Seeing some great music, unbelievable out here in Aspen, and seeing some great sights. The transportation system around here is just really it's really great. I mean, you can go anywhere, and it doesn't cost you anything.
And they have Wi-Fi everywhere you go on the buses and. It seems like the bus picks you up every 5 minutes, and that's kind of like what our good friend Jackie Green has been pushing for. You know, get out of our cars and, you know, do it by other means. And
I tell you, yeah, it's so easy. And we took a big Amtrak train ride up here from Denver, where I saw my son Josh and his wife Sarah, and we had a good time there. So,
and I should add that if you ever want to take a train trip, that's considered one of the most beautiful, beautiful rides in the whole world.
Yeah.
Right up there with Switzerland.
Yeah, it was really great. It's very comfortable. And, you know, the conductor tells you a little bit about what you're seeing outside the windows.
Yeah, we saw eagles and wildcats. And
yeah, it was all very cool. So we'll get into all that as part of the show. Before we get into the main body of the show, though, I have to thank my sponsors who make this show possible. Really grateful for Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue, 502-589-1500. Any issue you have with your eyes, Eye Care Institute is the place to go. Give them a call. Make an appointment. Very friendly staff there. And I really appreciate their contribution to the show. We also have sponsorship from our longtime sponsor, Passport Health Plans. And Passport Health Plans does some great work in this community, and I'm really, really glad to be associated with them. So, John, what do you know about Rex Chapman?
I know zero.
Well, you're about to find out, because when I was in Lexington, I lived in Lexington from 1985 to 88, I believe it was, and you know, that was during the tenure that Rex Chapman was the great basketball player. Out of Owensboro Apollo High School, he went on to he played 2 years at UK and then enjoyed a 12-year NBA career. And he finished up his career in Phoenix in about the year 2000. And as you'll hear in the interview, he goes into some of the issues that he's had with injuries he sustained during his playing career the drugs that he had to take to get through those injuries, and how he's sort of turned his life around now. And it's a really great story.
Well, why do you think he's the greatest basketball player to ever come out of Kentucky? And back it up with facts.
Well, I say the greatest that I've ever seen, because I've seen him and Daryl Griffith are the top two. And I was courtside during Rex's entire career at Kentucky. He was a very exciting player to watch. It was just, you just never knew what he was doing. He was flashy. He could jump through the roof. And he was just a great player. And back in those days, it was not so common for players to leave college early. And he got a little criticism for that around UK. But, you know, these days he is on the UK pregame radio network and does a great job on that. I'm really impressed. He is very well-spoken, speaks his mind, and I think you'll like hearing from him.
I mean, honestly, I have, of course, heard of him and so on, but I didn't know that you would put him up there, right up there with Daryl Griffin and others. So that's pretty impressive. And
yeah.
I know you've seen a lot of great basketball players here, and along with football players, because of your association with sports. So that's a mighty high commendation.
Well, it was great. I think I'm certain that I interviewed him while I was in Lexington, but I couldn't remember it specifically. And so it was great to get to talk to him again. Let's go to the interview right now. This is me with Rex Chapman.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
All right, today I'm down at the Healing Place with Rex Chapman, who I have to admit, Rex, you were a basketball hero of mine. We crossed paths back in Lexington in 1986, and I'm so happy to have you on the show and have you down here at the Healing Place.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. You know, this is it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I've been where these guys are emotionally, mm-hmm. and it's a tough road.
Yeah, and you gave a speech here at the Healing Place's annual event, and I'm just curious as to what your message is to people struggling now.
You know, my message is pretty simple. You know, life is hard. You know, it's not an easy road. No matter what you have, no matter where you're from, if you have money or power, or it's hard. Mm-hmm. And you've got to mind your life. You can get sidetracked. You know, I was sidetracked with prescription painkillers for about 16 or 17 years, from right at the time I finished playing until just a couple years ago. So it's a hurting time. It's a humbling time. And in many regards, no matter if you're in the public eye or just anyone anywhere, it's a humiliating time in many respects. So, you know, you have to really focus on what you're doing, take care of yourself, and then try to get better. Because then, at that point, if you get better, then you can start trying to help others.
I was reading about how, certainly toward the tail end of your 12-year NBA career, you were struggling with injuries a lot.
Yeah.
And that's where the pain comes
right.
came in.
Yeah, I wasn't a party guy. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke all through my – I drank a little bit here and there. I don't like alcohol really, but I wasn't a party guy. And I had 7 orthopedic surgeries my last 3 years of playing. They started putting me on painkillers, and then before I knew it, near my last year, I was needing them to just get through a ball game.
Okay.
And then once I finished that, they put me on some OxyContin for an appendix surgery, and within a few days, I just knew I was in love. I've always been kind of introverted. That medication, I felt, made me more social.
Okay.
I felt like a nicer person. Felt like I communicated better with people, and none of that was true. You're just lulled into believing those things.
But you
went to rehab for the first time in 2001,
yes.
I read. And I guess I'm trying to help people understand,
yeah.
it doesn't always take the first time, right?
No.
I mean, you had to, I guess you've been back.
It almost never takes the first time, from what I've learned over the years. You just have to kind of be ready. You know, the younger you are, I think the harder it is to, you know, people, when you're 20, somebody's telling you, look, you can't drink ever again.
Right.
That's a hard pill to swallow as a 20-year-old man. Now at 40 and 50, you start going, man, you know, I've only got, you know, 20 or 30 years yeah. left, I hope. And you start trying to be more of a grown-up. But yeah. there's a lot of maturity, immaturity that comes into play. And, you know, there were other things. You know, I was in a challenging marriage at the time. Just finished playing ball, and whereas I thought I would be ready to be done, mm-hmm. I was just 32 years old, and yeah. I'm retired now, and what else am I going to do? And I've got four little kids, and so there was a lot going on. And so it didn't take the first time. Within a few months, I was back taking Vicodin again. Never took OxyContin again ever after that okay. initial bout with the OxyContin.
Well, you, I mean, for people back in Kentucky, I guess you were out in Phoenix, sort of out of the public eye, mm-hmm. Pretty much. But then you had this incident in 2014 mm-hmm. At an Apple store, and you know, I guess the people around here were really mm-hmm. shocked that,
yeah.
that happened. What happened to you there?
Well, I mean, your judgment. I was on Suboxone for 10 years. I'd been on Suboxone. My judgment kept getting worse, progressively worse. And, you know, I really don't recall much of any of that.
Okay.
I was just at a point, I guess, of confusion. And, you know, so other than it was probably the best thing to ever happen to me, the best thing that could have happened to me at the time was for something to have to reset. For me
okay.
personally, and I look at it now and go, you know, I don't know where I would have been had something not happened.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't have chosen for it to be that.
Yeah.
But hey, where I am now, I'm very thankful.
Okay. Well, let's move ahead and put some of that past behind us and talk about. You got a new job this year. You must really, really be enjoying that.
Yeah, you know, it's been good. I'm back doing the radio stuff for University of Kentucky, my alma mater, and doing NBA TV, working with the people at TNT. And I do that four or five times a month. So I'm staying very busy doing some other radio stuff with the NBA. So, you know, look, I travel around to my friends' kids' basketball games. I'll go see an eighth grade game. I'll go see a varsity game, go see a kindergarten game. And then I get to watch the NBA and Kentucky from the best seats in the house. It's a pretty good life.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal. Now, you do you have a residence in Kentucky, or you just sort of travel?
Yeah, I've got a little place in Lexington, and then also a little place in Los Angeles.
Okay. Well, and you know, I've heard you on the pregame, and I've heard a lot of people talk about your work on the pregame. You really are. I mean, you're getting rave reviews. I mean, you say you sort of tell it like it is sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, I'm not qualified to do very much. But if I can't give an educated opinion on basketball, then I'm really in trouble. You know, I played at every level, played against, in my opinion, some of the greatest players ever to play the game, and just. Very fortunate. I love the game of basketball. It's been great to me. It's been great to my family. And there really is nothing better than being back here and doing Kentucky basketball yeah. games.
Well, you've got quite a reputation on Kentucky fans. And I know in those call-in shows, I think the one I heard the other day, some guy called and said, do you remember me from, you know,
yeah.
you played in eighth grade and, you know, something like that.
Right. Yeah. get a lot of good calls. We get a lot of silly calls. But, you know, I listened to K-Wood growing up.
Yeah.
His games, his telecasts, his broadcasts over the radio. And I'm just fortunate. I feel very fortunate to be a part of, even a small part of, being back officially part of Big Blue Nation.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, the NCAA tournament coming up this week.
Yep.
Give me your assessment of the cast chances, how far you think this team can go.
Well, in a year where nobody's really separated themselves at the top as really the best, most dominant team, I think we've got a chance with about 10 other schools to win the title. And, you know, and most of them are the Blue Bloods. I mean, Duke and Louisville, Carolina, Villanova, Gonzaga now, UCLA, Kansas, and my guys, Kentucky. I mean, we're as talented as anyone. In fact, probably more talented. We've got three certain lottery picks on the team this year, and a few other guys who will be pros in due time. But, yeah, I like our chances. You know,
well, a lot of people that, you know, follow basketball, I don't follow as closely as you do, I know, but talk about this Kentucky team as being – you know, it either loses focus or they ought to beat people by more than they're winning by. They sort of go into lulls and stuff. Is that something you think might catch up with them, or
no?
Might be able to get up for that?
No, yeah. We're winning. We're winning. If we're winning, I'm not complaining about anything. I mean, if that cracked me up the other day. We won. We beat whoever it was. And on Cal's call-in show, people are calling in and saying, hey, you know, we need to – why don't you do this and why don't you do that? Why don't you press? Why don't you play zone? And he gave a great answer. He said, there's 1,000 different ways to win a basketball game. And there are. And I learned that from a very young age with my dad. You can play things a lot. The goal is to win the game. And as long as we're winning, I'm good. Now, if we lose – Cal makes big bucks.
Yeah.
That's what he makes the big bucks for, to take all that heat.
Well, in this job at UK, you talk to Calipari much?
Yes, absolutely. Every couple of days, you know.
Okay.
Yep, I'll go to the practices and, you know, we sit and talk about, you know, upcoming games, upcoming matchups. And
okay.
It's a great deal.
Well, very good. So he's been supportive of your comeback. I know in Lexington there was a little bit of controversy when you signed this contract.
Right? Yeah, but you know what? People have been great. You know, Rick here in town, Patino, we go way back. Rick came, saw me in treatment two and a half, three years ago. Kenny Payne, who played here against me when he was at Louisville, he's our assistant coach at Kentucky now. We're great friends. We talk to each other all the time.
I was reading this funny story about you. You have this picture of you dunking on Kenny.
Oh, yeah, on Kenny.
You make sure everybody sees that.
Yeah.
When you come in.
Oh, yeah. I've been constantly teasing Kenny about it.
Well, those were fun times. And last thing before I let you go, I think I was in the stands at Freedom Hall that 85-51 game. That had to be maybe among the biggest moments of your career.
Well, you know what? It was a fun game because our team won. But I grew up a Louisville fan, and Coach Crum, I'd all but said I was coming to Louisville, and then I backed out, and then we came in and beat the snot out of them, and I felt awful about it. And then the next summer tells you how classy a guy Coach Crum was, or is. The USA, the Olympic stuff was the next summer. He was the coach, and he selected me to play on the USA team, which, and I played and started and played 30 minutes a night.
Yeah.
What a classy guy. Saw him last week, 80 years old now, and doing great.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. Well, look, we'll wrap it up here, but I want to mention one more thing about the Healing Place. Certainly, you've been down here. You did a tour of the place.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing media. It's obviously something you feel is important.
Yeah, you know, and I'm really glad that I was able to come down and see what this place is all about, because it's very unique. It's a nonprofit, and these people come in here at their worst, at their most rock bottom. And just walking through the detox earlier, I see the guys that are at ground zero, and it is a miserable place to be. You know, maybe there's a little added thing if you're in the public and you've got to go through that publicly, but it's really no harder, you know, because in your world, no matter who you are, all your family knows, all your friends know, and it's a tough tough time. So I'm glad I came down here. These people at the Healing Place are fantastic, and they're doing great, great work.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
All right, and we're back, and I hope you enjoyed the segment with Rex Chapman. And I am here again in Aspen, Colorado, with John Gilderblum, Professor John Gilderblum, I guess we should say. John, you've been coming here a long, long time.
Yes, I was often the guest of one of the most prominent doctors out of Louisville, the hand surgeon Warren Breidenbach, who had a humongous 7,000-square-foot house next to Jack Nicholson. And there really is a Louisville connection here with, of course, with J.P. Nichols comes up here as well, and a lot of the super rich of the from Louisville come here. And, of course, the most famous person is Hunter Thompson.
How much fun was going to the Woody Creek Tavern last night?
Oh, man, it's the place to go. It's the place to go.
It is kind of a dump, actually, but there's so much history there. We got our pictures on the wall.
Yep.
Right next to and we'll put that picture up on the site, right next to a sign that says, Keep It Weird, Louisville, right?
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Denny Humphreys gave us a shout out and said that's his favorite place, the owner of the Monkey Wrench. And a few other people sort of came out of the woodwork saying they love Aspen and so on.
Yeah, and met three guys from Louisville right in there. When I tell you it's a small place, it's a small place.
Yeah,
it's not that big, but it was very cool, very cool. But
you didn't think the food was that great, but I thought the food was wonderful.
Yeah. Well, it was.
It might be the fresh air. Fresh air.
I'm getting snobby, I guess, doing all this eat, drink, talk stuff, but. No, it was fine. The chicken enchiladas were recommended to us, so we tried that and a few margaritas in honor of Hunter S. So the Gonzo Fest,
but not as good as Louisville. So we want to stress that.
Gonzo Fest, just something to look forward to. I'm going to have a show that will mention that in the near future. April 15th is Gonzo Fest. It moves to the Louisville Public Library. I was just reading about Hunter's life a little bit and discovered, you know, his mother was a librarian at the main library.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that Hunter grew up in the Highlands and right actually on the other side of the Cherokee Triangle.
On Ransdell.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, anyway, that's coming up April 15th. We'll have some information about that in future shows, but we also saw some incredible music at the Belly Up Bar, didn't we?
Oh my gosh, it was, you know, I thought rock and roll was dead. And
then you didn't. Anybody that thinks that hasn't met Andy Frasco in the UN, right?
Yes, look it up on your Google. The Wildest Show. He combines jock rock with Bruce Springsteen and just frantic. It just reminded me of how great rock and roll was, and just it was
featuring an electric tuba.
Yeah, yeah.
As well. So that was a lot of fun. So part of the reason we're here, John, you come here all the time. My son Josh, you know, lives in Denver, and we got to spend an evening with him, and I'm going back there to see him on Thursday night. But your work sort of ties into some of the stuff that's going on.
Well, at the University of Louisville, I run the Sustainable Urban Neighborhoods program, which has been kicking now for nearly 30 years, and we talk about how to make neighborhoods great. And of course, Highlands has now been rated as one of the 15 hippest, coolest neighborhoods in the nation by USA Today. Yeah, it just came out today, and it's a place where people want to eat, drink, be merry, and live their life, and be more or less car free. And here's an example in this mountain. This old Silvertown, which had its ups and downs and so on, where they've still preserved all the old brick and stone buildings and so on, and people love that. And, of course, restaurants galore and great recreational opportunities from skiing to ice skating to other ice skate and of course, hockey. They actually have a hockey rink here.
Well, to me, looking up at that big mountain with skiers coming down. It looks pretty intimidating. I'm not skiing. I understand you're going to try it after I leave.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Good for you. All right. Well, let's talk about some of the things going on back in our hometown, Louisville, KY, because that's what the show is about. Every week in this segment of the show, we talk about some things that happened. Now we've got so many former guests of the show that when they do something that's news, we talk about it here. You know that the big news in Louisville, the Speed Art Museum's transformation in the last couple of years has been great. The leader of that was on this show, Guillaume Dumière.
Yes.
It took me a while to learn how to say that.
And it's and I've been there, and I've been to the movie series and so on, and it's a beautiful landmark, especially with the Confederate statue now gone.
Right, that was
just
a big story.
It just shines, and you don't have that cancer sore there, and so on.
Well, the news just broke yesterday, I think, that Guillaume has, I think, an ailing relative in his home in France, and his leaving the Speed Museum, and in the very near future, Stephen Riley, who is on the show, is a great leader in our community, is set to replace him and be a on a temporary basis.
Yeah.
So you know Stephen.
Yeah, and he's a Highlands guy, and he'll be pushing, I think, hard for to make it more. I hope they'll bring in more local artists and so on.
Sure.
To show what they're doing. I've seen that in a lot of museums going on, and that would be really great. We need to feature that more.
Well, he was a natural choice. He had 10 years experience on the board at the Speed, and was very involved in the transformation. It's just a beautiful site now compared to what it used to be. So
that's
big news
for a postmodern building. It's that's hard to do. That's hard to do, but it's like a shining gem at night. You know, it's just awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. Okay, so some other changes going on around town that I've discovered while I've been on this trip. It was announced earlier this week, and you can read about this on eatdrinktalk.net, that remember the Hall's Cafeteria down across from the butcher plant?
Yeah.
John, you know that place?
Yeah.
They closed down about a month or two ago, and Alan Rosenberg, a well-known chef around town, is going to open the Butchertown Pizza Hall there. So more pizza for our city.
I've always loved Alan's pizzas before. They were great, and before he sold them, and then someone muffed them up. But he's one of the best. He produced, I think, one of the best pizzas in town.
Yeah, he used to
right there with Cole's pizza, and the other one is the most hidden one is the Blue Dog Bakery. If you've ever had that pizza there,
not really. I have not.
Oh, it's awesome. And healthy.
Well, very good. Well, that Rosenberg was known for Papalino's, a short-lived stay down there in the Highlands. And so he's moving over to Butchertown, where so many great things are going on in Butchertown. So that's good news. The other thing, and it was just a matter of time. I was wondering how long this spot would stay empty. You know the old Coyotes?
Yeah. Oh, it's... Saw Eric Burden and the Animals there playing before.
Yeah, I remember seeing Delbert McClinton there back in the day. But the good news is another one of our former Rusty Satellite Show guests, Daryl Griffith, the famous legendary basketball player, is in a partnership to open a big sports bar there.
Yeah.
And that ought to be really something. They're going to put a something on the roof, a garden-like thing on the roof.
Well, I really, really hope that one of the problems I think with sports bars is terrible food, with maybe the exception of Tony Boombaz. But if we could have that sports bar with all those great screens and great music, but great food, to eat, we're not so good at that.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine how awesome downtown is going to be in a couple of years, because they're going to finish the convention center, they finished the Great Omni Hotel. There's several other projects in the works downtown, and now Coyotes, that desolate corner, is no longer going to be empty. It's going to have something cool there.
Yeah.
So we'll look forward to that. I want to tell you that it is St. Patrick's Day weekend. It's a big party weekend.
And you're not wearing green.
Because it's not St. Patrick's Day yet. But on Friday it will be. And if you want to get really in the mood, two of the city's most interesting Irishmen are on Eat, Drink, Talk this week with Steve Coombs. Finbar Kinsella and Michael Reedy. I don't know if you know. I don't know Mr. Kinsella, but I know Michael, and I know he's always an entertaining guy to talk to.
Mm.
So he owns the Irish Rover, and that podcast is available on this Louisville.am network over at Eat, Drink, Talk. Okay. So it's the first Eat, Drink, Talk that I'm not on. Can you believe it? Because I begged off for vacation to be here with you in Aspen.
The Irish parade on Baxter was amazing.
I know. I thought the weather was going to be bad and all that, but it turned out to be to clear up.
Yeah. They should rename all those streets down there in the original Highlands from Christie to O'Shea to Flynn and all that stuff. Really celebrate the heritage of the Irish.
Well, you can lead the change. You know something about changing streets because you've led the effort to change one-way streets to two-way streets.
Yes.
And that's still gaining momentum.
Well, the mayor just announced that he's going to finally, after doing just two streets, Brook and First, the two-way streets, and seeing that property values went up, crime went down.
All the things you predicted would happen.
And now he's announced that he's doing a bigger program on that. We're really excited about that. We just got another publication. We're actually working on a video on that to really push it. And because around the, what happens in Louisville often happens elsewhere. So we have, New Albany just did the same thing.
Sure.
They're transforming the streets there.
And I had Scott Kramer, the architect, was on the show a couple weeks ago, and he talked about Shelby Street being one of those one-way streets going to convert to two. And so we'll see when that happens.
And they're putting investments in. And you mentioned the Omni Hotel. Omni said they would not come in unless they transferred Third Street into two-way because they understood how good it's for business and so on. Okay. And lowering crime.
Well, there you go. Well, we're out here in Colorado, John, and it's easy to forget the most important thing going on in the world right now, which is the start of the NCAA tournament, right?
Oh, my God. I thought you were talking about Trump. We came
for
up here to have a vacation from him.
the games for the tournament starts Thursday, and both UK and U of L are playing in Indianapolis on Friday. Interestingly, the NCAA and CBS know where the interest in the tournament is. Both of the games are Kentucky and Louisville are on CBS, which is the big network.
Oh my gosh!
Some of the other games you have to watch on True TV and TBS and stations you don't really normally turn into, for those who still tune into stations. But anyway, it's a very exciting time because both U of L and UK are number two seeds.
Yes, and you just never know.
This could be the year.
I mean, right? Several years ago when we won the championship, I think for a lot of people it was a big surprise. It's a nice gamble.
Well, when you're a two seed, it's not a surprise if you win. Looking at their paths to the Final Four, I just looked at the brackets, and it looks to me like Louisville's path is a little bit easier than Kentucky's. They potentially could play. They have a game Friday with Jacksonville State, which they'll walk over. But then they play Michigan. They could play Michigan, Oregon, and Kansas. And Kansas would be the biggest challenge to get to the Final Four.
Exactly.
Now for Kentucky, which our buddy Rex Chapman will be, I guess, doing the pregame shows for. They've got a game with one of the best first-round stories of the tournament, Northern Kentucky.
Yeah.
First time in the tournament ever.
Yeah.
So did you hear the funny story about Northern Kentucky being in the tournament?
No, tell me.
You've been to Jeff Ruby. You know who Jeff Ruby is, right?
Oh, yeah. He said no to OJ.
he is. And he's got a couple of restaurants in well-known in Cincinnati. He's put up he says if the Norse of Northern Kentucky can beat the Wildcats, he's buying steak dinner for every single student at Northern Kentucky University.
Yeah.
It's reason to cheer for the Norse.
Go Norse. Yeah, go Norse.
I'm going to be pulling for it. So that game's Friday night, but assuming Kentucky gets past the Norse, they could potentially play Dayton, but which might not be that tough, but UCLA and North Carolina are in their path, and UCLA beat them earlier this year, and North Carolina is just they're always tough to beat.
And I think a lot of people will be rooting for UCLA because of the coach being from Indiana.
Yeah, Steve Alford.
Yeah, so. And his son. I've watched UCLA because I love watching Bill Walton.
Yeah.
One of my former roommates when I was at Santa Barbara, he lived in a teepee in the back my house and so on. So he's a riot.
Yeah, he's quite a character. And, you know, there's so many great stories for the tournament. I know we're all going to be this is the first weekend where there's so many teams. You know, next weekend they'll be down to the Sweet 16. Hopefully Kentucky and Louisville will both be there. So we'll be inside watching basketball maybe a little bit.
Probably so. At my Island's house.
There you go. All right. Well, it's time to move on to the second interview in the show, and it is with Metro Councilman Kevin Kramer. And I love Kevin. He was he's lived his whole life in Hikes Point. Went to school at U of L and Bellarmine, and is also has another job as an instructor at Mercy Academy. And you know, which is an interesting story because my girlfriend Paula's daughters went there and they knew him as an instructor, and they said, "Kevin Kramer? He's not." They had no idea he had this other job. So anyway.
Well, you know, one thing you have to always mention when you say Hikes Lane, you just say home of the morning jacket, Jim James.
Yeah.
The neighborhood, the hood. Whoever thought that Hikes Lane would be a hipster neighborhood?
It's interesting.
Good for you, Kevin.
Yeah, it's an interesting part of town. They subsequently, when they changed the district, they moved the boundary for where I live into Kevin's district in J-Town. So he has that now. So I had some questions for him about that. Wanted to get him on the show for a long time. And we talked about some of the things going on in local government and his view on that. And I think it's a really interesting conversation. So stay tuned. John and I will be back after the interview.
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called
40-ish.
It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. It comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is in the second floor of the Metro Council of City Hall with Kevin Kramer, my councilman in J-Town.
Good morning.
Good to see you, Rick. Well, Kevin, you know, I'm not going to give you grief about it, but, you know, as a constituent, you know, I expect my calls to be answered immediately. And, and you took a day or two to get back to me.
My apologies.
That's all right. But you have, you know, just for our listeners who don't know, you've lived your whole life in the same zip code, you told me.
I have, indeed. Lived in 40220 since I was born.
Wow. Wow. And also, in addition to your Metro Council duties, you're an instructor at Mercy Academy.
Yes, I've been teaching there since 1997. Teach religion, sophomores and juniors.
Wow. And you know, the students out there don't realize you're on the Metro Council?
Well, it's not something I talk about in class a whole lot. And yeah, I'm sure that's probably true.
I know a few of them. But here at the Metro Council, you're part of the Republicans, which are in the minority here. It's like it's the only body in the only government body in the state that's not controlled by Republicans now, right?
Well, it's the largest body in the state that's not controlled by Republicans, that's for sure. I think Lexington, I think theirs is still largely controlled by the Democratic Party, and I don't know of any others. Although, you know, there is a difference in the way our city is structured. Louisville Metro has partisan elections.
Okay.
A lot of cities in the state don't.
As they probably shouldn't, right?
Well, I suppose that depends on who you talk to. From my perspective, the state of Kentucky established through 67C that Louisville would consolidate governments. And when they decided to do that, they set us up with partisan elections. And so it's what we have. It's mandated by the state.
Well, what do you think? Certainly in recent weeks, there's been a lot of talk in the media about what's going on in Frankfort and about a lot of Frankfort politicians having a lot to say about how we run things around here in Louisville.
Well, that's an interesting characterization.
Well, I'm thinking of the War on Louisville headlines and all that.
I'm sure. And that's exactly what I thought when you said that out loud. And I have to tell you, the War on Louisville is, interestingly enough, words from one particular individual in the city of Louisville who felt like some of the changes might not be to his advantage.
Okay.
And
Mayor Fisher.
Mayor Fisher, I think, is the one who coined the phrase War on Louisville. So If you actually look at the legislation that they're talking about, the legislation is not in any way a war on Louisville, first of all. And secondly, if you broaden the scope from one or two pieces of legislation that seem to have raised the ire of some, okay. Frankfurt's done some things that are very good for us. I went to Frankfurt with the mayor's folks to talk to the state legislature about the TIF arrangement that we have for the Yum Center. And the state was very amenable to working with us. They recognize and understand that Louisville is the economic engine for the state, and the work that we did passed through the committee we spoke to, and then I think has since passed through both House and Senate. And if the governor hasn't signed it yet, I anticipate he will be signing it soon. And so that's going to be very good for the city of Louisville in terms of what it means for restructuring the debt at the Yum Center, and a direct result of the fact that Frankfurt is, in fact, not at war with us. If you look at some of the legislation that is, again, raising the ire of some, one of the chief things in there is, and the council in general has talked about for a number of years now, the fact that we've got boards and commissions who have folks serving on them, and those boards and commissions, the terms have expired in many instances. The folks serving in terms that have expired can't be reappointed by law. And yet, for whatever reason, we're not appointing people to fill those empty spots. And so what happens is that board or commission either can't function, or the way the law reads, the person who was appointed serves until their replacement. So you have a person whose term has expired, but they continue to serve because they haven't been replaced. And so when we ask the mayor, hey, what about this? What about this? What about this? There doesn't seem to be any sense of urgency to refill those boards. So one of the pieces of legislation in Frankfurt would say that if the mayor doesn't reappoint, as the law requires him to do, that the council has some remedy to make sure that those positions get filled. This isn't a partisan issue.
Okay.
And they're making it sound like these Republicans in Louisville and in Frankfurt are shoving something down on Louisville. This isn't a partisan issue. If you talk to Democrats in this building, they'll tell you that it's very discouraging that the mayor hasn't filled these boards and commission slots.
Okay.
Again, talk to the Democrats in this building and they'll tell you that we have in the past wanted to have independent counsel. We've wanted to hire our own attorney to come in and help us look at legislation and try to decide, you know, where are we going here? The county attorney is, at times, put in a rather awkward position because under 67C, the law that created consolidated government, the county attorney represents the Metro Council as our lawyer. Well, 67C also requires that the county attorney represent Mayor Fisher as his lawyer. So if there's ever a question between us and the administration, then the county attorney's put in a really awkward place. So folks in this building have gone to Frankfurt, who, by the way, through 67C, created consolidated government, and we've asked them to help us fix this.
Okay.
And so that's not a war on Louisville by any stretch of imagination. That's simply looking at legislation that was created some number of years ago and saying, look, when you created us, these were the kind of things that you put in place. This is what's working well. Thank you. These are the areas where we're struggling. You created this. Please help us fix it.
Okay.
So it was surprising might be the wrong language, but a little bit surprising. You know, you wake up and you read that article in the paper, and it's like, where is this war on Louisville? And unfortunately, when you talk to folks in Frankfurt who are from, you know, other counties, you know, they're hearing all of this debate in the Courier Journal, and they don't want to. The Republicans in Frankfurt have no desire to attack Louisville. They're, you know, the House, a lot of those guys are brand new to government, and the last thing in the world they want is to come into this place and have everybody pointing at them and saying, you know, these mean Republicans from out in the state are trying to take over Louisville. Well, they're voting on a piece of legislation that's in front of them that they've been told is, you know, bipartisan and that actually helps Louisville function better, and they want to do that, and then they read in the paper that there are these mean Republicans who are coming in and trying to take over the city, and they're like, so it's...
Well, maybe the conflict is, I mean, I don't know, you've been on the council since it started, mm-hmm. 2002 or three.
Yes.
And, you know, this mayor's been in place in his,
He's finishing his second term.
Mm-hmm. So how's that relationship? I mean, is it adversarial between the Republican members of the council and the mayor?
I don't think I would use the term adversarial, no. And it's... And I don't know that there's a whole lot of difference, and I guess you'd have to ask my Democratic colleagues, but I don't know that there's a whole lot of difference in the way that he treats Republicans versus the way that he treats Democrats. So, okay. No, I think that's the, I will tell you, and I think that's the beauty of being at the local level instead of the state or federal. Most of what we do down here is not partisan. I mean, we're elected partisan, but when it comes time to figure out how to solve problems, very rarely do we end up in these partisan battles where we're fighting back and forth because...
Although there are a lot of things that are voted on that go along party lines.
We do still have philosophical differences, obviously.
Right.
But, you know, you look at Sadie's Law, the Metro Animal Services, when we had a problem several years ago. You know, Democrats and Republicans alike, we got together and said, this is a problem, and how do we fix this? Where do we go from here? Use that same discussion, though. You talk about the animal control ordinance. You start talking about pit bulls. That one ended up coming down along party lines for some reason. I'm not sure why pit bulls goes along party lines. I suspect probably it has more to do with, again, the fact that there is a difference in political philosophy. And the question with pit bulls is, you know, what are we trying to do? What are we regulating here? And... You know, the folks on my side of the aisle tend to see that as, you know, the dog isn't the problem, it's the owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything we wanted to do, we wanted to deal with, how do we fix the problem that the owner is the problem? You know, some of my colleagues felt like if people didn't have pit bulls, it would solve the problem. Well, our thinking was if they don't have a pit bull, they'll have a mastiff. And if they don't have a mastiff, they'll have a Doberman.
Right.
And if they, I mean, whatever the owner is, whoever the owner is that has a dog that intimidates, the dog isn't the problem. The owner who has the dog and is using the dog to intimidate, there's your issue. And so I think sometimes you might see some of that, but even on that one, at the end of the day, we came together and talked to each other instead of fighting it out somewhere.
Yeah.
And we have, I think, a good animal control ordinance. And I think if you ask my Democratic colleagues, they would agree. We have a good animal control ordinance.
We were talking before we... started here about the differences or the fact that as a Metro councilman you certainly represent the people of Pikes Point and J-Town, but you know I guess you look at the bigger picture of the citywide and most of the time, but I mean that philosophy, I guess there's not enough to keep you busy in Hikes Point and J-Town. I mean, there's a lot going on out there, right?
Well,
I mean...
I suppose there is, but, you know, Metro Council's responsibility isn't exclusive to their district.
Right.
Every decision that we make down here applies to every citizen in Louisville. It doesn't just apply to the folks who live in Hikes Point. And if all of my decisions on the Metro Council were exclusive to my district, you know... That, I think, would be a bit of a problem. I represent a district that has a mix of suburban and urban or rural. I have colleagues on the council who represent exclusively urban districts. And I have other colleagues on the council who represent exclusively rural districts. And it doesn't matter what it is we're talking about as an issue. Whatever we pass as an ordinance applies to every person in this community. And so an ordinance that makes perfect sense for my colleagues who live in an exclusively rural area makes no sense for my colleagues who live in an urban one. And so what we have to do, should do, I hope we do most of the time, and I think we do, what we have to do is come together and say, hey, how do we, as 26 different individuals who represent 26 different parts of this community, how do we come together and recognize that while this might be ideal for my part of the community, it's going to cause a hardship in a different one. And how do we then come up with the best ordinance possible to deal with whatever the problem is, wherever the problem happens to exist?
Okay, well, certainly that makes sense. Do you get,
I'm just curious, though. Are there decisions that you make that certainly you get criticism for out in your district? What kind of things would generate that
I've been
kind
fortunate.
Of thing?
I think, you know, most of the folks I talk to seem to feel like we're doing pretty well. So that it's always nice to get those compliments.
And you've been reelected, twice or three times?
Three times, yeah.
Okay. And
twice without opposition.
Okay. You going to run again?
That's my current plan, unless something in the world changes. Yes.
Because you're getting to be one of the most senior members of the council. Well, and there's only a handful, right?
That I suppose if you hang around long enough, that happens.
That's right.
So, yes.
You must enjoy the work.
I do. It is gratifying to be able to do things that you can see in Hikes Point that make a difference. You know, one of the things that I've been determined is important is infrastructure and walkability. And so if you go out, you know, my wife gets really tired of hearing me every time we drive past someplace, I'll say, look, there's people walking on that sidewalk that we put in. Or see that path right there? That's where people are walking. We're going to have to put a sidewalk there. And I think if you ask my wife about sidewalks, she's probably rather tired of hearing it. But it is nice to go out and see people who are, well, actually, I can't claim that they're using a sidewalk I put in because I put it in. They were walking in the grass there before we put that sidewalk.
Sure.
So it's nice to be out, to be able to go out and see, hey, you know, that I might have done something that made it easier for people to commute. Now, it's equally frustrating to put a sidewalk in and then to drive down the street and not be able to see the sidewalk because the grass is so tall. You can't see people walking on the sidewalk because the grass is literally 4 or 5 feet tall. So I still am hopeful that we can get that taken care of. Again, these aren't problems exclusive to District 11, though. I mean, it doesn't matter. You go anywhere in the community, and we don't have the walkability we should. You go anywhere in the community, and we're not taking care of property in the way that we should be taking care of property. So it is good work if you can get it. And if you, you know, when you figure out what, if there's a focus, if there's something that you can say, hey, this is something where we can make a difference, and you focus on that, it's nice to see the end result when something actually is better when you're finished. And again, it's not me that made it better. This is what my constituents are expecting of me, and hopefully they're satisfied that I'm getting them the results that they want.
All right. Thanks to Kevin Kramer for being on the show. And I'm back here, Rusty Satellite Show's first remote recording in Aspen, Colorado.
Beautiful Aspen.
Professor John Gilderblum is with me, and we're having a big time out here.
Yes, wonderful.
It's a great place to stay. And now, one of the common things that you and I have is we're both Airbnb hosts.
Yes.
And how's that going for you, John? I get credit for introducing you to that site?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yes, you did. But
I think you should be paying me a percentage of everything you make.
But I should add that I was one of the first people to do it before there was Airbnb. I was renting out my Victorian, and it was featured in the New York Times.
The Painted Lady.
The Painted Lady. And it was just for during the Derby and so on. And our first rental was $1,000, which we thought was a gold mine.
Yeah.
And now it's up to $8,000 for a Derby rental.
Wow.
Which we've done.
Well, you're in the high end. My place out in J-Town goes for considerably less than that, but I've got a bunch of people lined up in the next few months, so it's a good program.
Well, I think it helps, you know, put money back in your house, and it's good for the neighborhood. And you know, we wrote that article in the Courier Journal, which is still posted, and it's a good thing.
Yeah,
it's a really good thing for the neighborhoods. And I think the propaganda that came out of New York and San Francisco against it was stupid. You know,
right.
Saying it takes away. You know, we do have lots of housing here, and it the big issue here is improving housing, making sure the blocks in our neighborhood are much improved. So,
and homeowners that use Airbnb, they raise a little money, they put some of that money back into their house.
Exactly,
and
it
works out great.
Exactly, and we're taking a few trips this summer, and we're going to be going to staying at Airbnbs in Cincinnati and in Nashville and even in Indianapolis. So
it's a tremendous way to travel. Our new world of cutting out middlemen and things. It's really great, you know, in terms of not only Airbnb, but like Uber and Lyft. You know, I do that. And down here, here in Aspen, they have this interesting little service provided by the city that's a, you know, you can go from bar to hotel, et cetera, and all you do is tip the driver.
Yeah. And I should compliment you because you're not willing to do it, but you know, you have a 5-star super host rating, which is
only
11% get it. And you know, when you look at the reviews, people are joyous. It's better than a Motel 6. It's better than a Marriott hotel because it's, you know, you get to live the lifestyle of a Louisvillian. So,
okay. Well, we got to wrap up the Rusty Satellite Show, John. It's been a real pleasure being out here with you and doing the show, the first ever remote recording for the Rusty Satellite Show. I'm headed back on Friday in town. I hope to be in town in time to watch Northern Kentucky beat the Wildcats Friday night. You're going to stay here a few more days.
Yeah, and I fly back when Trump gives his talk at Freedom Hall.
That's right. That's coming up on Monday.
Yeah.
Boy. We don't have time to get into that, but
will they allow the planes to land?
I don't know. That's going to be an interesting thing going on in Louisville, Kentucky next week. So as I close the show, I want to thank my sponsors, the Eye Care Institute, 502-589-1500 down on Story Avenue in Butchertown, and my friends at Passport Health Plan, and they've been with me from the very beginning. So I also like to remind people all the other things I do. LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city, is your source for news about what's going on in the city. EatDrinkTalk.net is the website for news about food and dining and restaurants in the city. And our podcast, Eat Drink Talk, airs every Tuesday on this Louisville.am network. Boy, it's a lot of stuff, isn't it, John?
No. You're doing great.
Well, it's a lot of fun.
You're the best. You're the ambassador of the city, as Jerry Abramson used to tell me. You are the ambassador of the city.
Well, good.
All
well,
good things.
I'd love for Jerry to come on the show and tell me that too. So I'm working on that one too. We got more of the most interesting people in the bill lined up, and we'll have a couple on next week when we're back in Louisville, KY,
okay.
My hometown.
Adios.
All right. Thanks again. Signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show, this is Rick Redding.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Airplanes in the buildings every time.